ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
G'day, I'm Matt Brand. The Territory Government has released its long-awaited draft water allocation plan for the Mataranka region. This plan is split into three water management zones. There's North Mataranka, South Mataranka, and also Larrimah. Now, the estimated sustainable yield for those three areas is a maximum of 62,000 megalitres every single year. The public consultation period is now open for this plan. To learn more about it, I spoke to Amy Dysart, who is the Executive Director of NT Water Resources.
It's good to have this plan out. It's been under development for a number of years. It is looking to manage the groundwater resources in the Mataranka plan area. The plan separates the resources into three management zones, and those management zones reflect the flow of groundwater and where it flows into the Roper River in some places, and those where the connection to the Roper is much slower.
So it's split into three management areas. Is now what? North Mataranka, South Mataranka, and Larrimah.
Yes. And they represent different conditions in both those areas. So we've had to take different approaches for those different types of resources there. So in North and South Mataranka, those are top-end resources. So there are fill-and-spill types of resources that drain out into the river during the dry season and keep the dry season flows. In the Larrimah zone, it's not as connected to the river, so the water is much deeper and moves much more slowly. So those are what we call our arid zone resources. So they're more based on the storage volume that's underneath the ground.
Across these three areas, the water allocation plan says there's an estimated sustainable yield of about 62,000 megalitres every year. How much of that water is already getting used by industries?
Yeah, so in that north area where we've got these fill and spill aquifers in North Mataranka and South Mataranka, the plan caps the development at those levels that has currently been licensed today. So no more water is available to be licensed in that area.
Right. So if Matt the farmer wanted to get a groundwater license tomorrow near Mataranka, I couldn't.
No. And the reason that we've done that is that that area around Elsey National Park has been identified as having outstanding environmental values. So in order to protect that area, along with Rainbow and Bitter Springs, which are well-known iconic springs in that area, we want to be cautious about the level of development. We've said we're not seeing any adverse effects now, so let's leave development where it is at the moment. And instead, further south, closer to Larrimah, where there's less environmental impacts and less connection to those iconic environmental assets, we release more water for development in the area. So there can be still development. It's just a little bit further south to ensure that we balance that with not having as much environmental impact from that development.
Right. And the estimated sustainable yield for that Larrimah area is around 35,000 megalitres each year. Do you know how much water of that's already been used?
Off the top of my head, I think it's about 8,000 megalitres is currently licensed at the moment. So there will be more water available for licensing in the Larrimah area.
Back in 2021, a 10,000 megalitre water licence for the Larrimah region got revoked. You and I would have spoken about that at the time, I'm sure. And yes. I've got a quote here from the time from the Northern Land Council, which said that allocation was not based on the best available scientific information and that it would be unsustainable in the long term, creating risks to all Territorians. So if 10,000 megalitres was seen as a risk, what's 35,000 megalitres represent?
Well, I think, the science in that area, there's a couple of things that have changed since then. One, there's been further science done in terms of the strategic environmental baseline assessment that's been conducted in that area and all the way through to the Beetaloo area. So we understand the level of connection and conductivity very well. Also, the department has since released a paper, which is a technical paper back in 2021, that explains the difference between what we talked about before with the top-end fill and spill-like aquifers and then what we call those arid zone aquifers, those ones which are not connected or discharging out into the environment. And in this area, we have both of those, and this is where the transition occurs. So Larimer is an arid zone resource. It has been characterised like that way, and that way it has been allocated from the amount of water in storage. So those are the things that have changed since the Land Council, provided that quote a number of years ago.
Within moments of this draft plan being released on Thursday, there were some environment groups who straight away were on the attack, condemning the plan and saying, and this is a quote, it would be the death knell for the Mataranka hot springs. What would you say to that criticism, Amy Dysart?
I would say that is absolutely misleading and not true. And the reason for that is exactly what we talked about before you posed that question, which is that this plan actually limits the amount of water that's available in that northern and south Mataranka area, which is connected to both the springs and the Roper River to ensure its protection. So any suggestion that this makes more water available is completely untrue.
And what about drawing water from underneath Larimer? Could that have an impact on the Roper and the hot springs?
What we know about the water down in Larimer is that it moves very slowly, and it will take a number of years for it to travel through to the Roper, like hundreds of thousands of years. Unlike to the Roper River, where we know it's highly connected and happens in a short time frame, and that's why we've not allowed more development in that area closer to the river. However, in Larimer, that level of conductivity is beyond the timeframes in which we're planning for. We plan for sort of 10, 20, 50, 100 years, a number of generations. And we're talking timeframes long beyond that. So therefore, it's quite appropriate for the utilisation of those resources during the period of this 10-year plan.
If you're tuning in, this is The Country Hour, and we're speaking to Amy Dysart, who is the Executive Director of NT Water Resources. The government has released its draft water allocation plan for the Mataranka region. You have got until the 3rd of June to have your say. Amy, is there anything else that you'd like to tell our audience about this plan?
The only other thing was just that this particular catchment has a high level of climate variability. And therefore, when we've set those protections and requirements, particularly in the North and South Mataranka, it means that there's actually going to be three different flow thresholds depending on the climatic conditions we're in. So at the moment, we're in a wet period. So there's a certain threshold that needs to be met when we do our, annual assessment of the resource to identify if any seasonal adjustments need to be made through announced allocations. So there'll be one for when we're in wet climate, in a average climate, and in a dry climate. So we do expect that this, resource is more variable than some of the other resources in the territory, and it is likely that announced allocations will be implemented more often in this resource because of that natural climate variability.
Right. So if there's a poor wet season, water allocations to farmers could be reduced.
Yes, and we do know that it's likely to happen more frequently in this area. Not by much, but we do know it is more variable, so therefore more likely.
Thanks for your time on The Country Hour.
No problem.
That's Amy Dysart, who is the Executive Director of NT Water Resources. If you're tuning in, this is The Country Hour, and we are talking H2O, talking all things water. Now, I recently caught up with the Territory's Water Controller, Andrew Johnson. He's been in that role now for almost 12 months, and during that time, he has seen the rollout of new water plans. He's seen changes to the Territory's Water Act, and he told The Country Hour that he's got an eye on unused water in the Katherine region. Have a listen.
I suppose from my perspective, what I've observed with the water allocation plans in a number of areas, on paper, those resources are over-allocated. What we're actually seeing is that, in fact, water use is well below what's been allocated.
Yeah, so for example, the Catherine Tindall Limestone Aquifer. Tell us the story there and what you're seeing.
So what we're seeing there is you've got the estimated sustainable yield, but the allocations that have been made to that resource are greater than the estimated sustainable yield.
Which so makes for a terrible headline, over-allocated.
Yep, and I've listened to a few media outputs which have suggested the Territory has a number of resources that are over-allocated. And on paper, that's correct. But when you actually look at utilisation of that resource, it's a very different story. So as you said, the Catherine Tindall resource, you're only using 33% of the water that's been allocated. And as a consequence, what the department and as a consequence me have been trying to do is implement a water recovery process. So we've contacted all water users in the Catherine Tindall catchment area.
There's been meeting with growers.
There's been meetings with growers. There's been meeting with the broader community. I've been down for a meeting with Aboriginal communities. And there's a lot of angst in terms of that resource. But when you're looking at, if you like, people sitting on nearly 70% of the resource and not using it, that's a lot of economic development in a key development region for the Territory. So we've contacted, or the department's contacted, all of the licence holders in the region. As you said, they've had public meetings, and we've been looking at the process of water recovery. And so particularly, you know, there are about 10 licences that represent the majority of water allocated. And we've been looking at those in detail. We haven't missed any of the others, but we're also focused on those and looking to say, okay, what is your water requirement? What's your future development strategy? And then trying to identify how much water with a buffer, how much water you're going to need into the future.
Have you got a target in mind on how much water you would like to see reclaimed in that Catherine region?
No target specific, but what we would like to be able to achieve are two things. One is providing water for the Aboriginal Water Reserve so that at the moment there's almost insignificant amount. And as well as then being able to take the water isn't being used and then reallocating it or making it available.
So that if a young couple in the Catherine region wanted to get a water extraction licence to grow whatever, there would then be an opportunity.
That's correct. Whereas at the moment, if they put an application because it's overallocated, they don't even get considered.
Has much water been reclaimed? Like, I think for a long time it's just been called use it or lose it. Has much water been reclaimed back in the last 12 months?
We've really only just started that process.
Okay.
I can't, off the top of my head, I can't tell you how much has been recovered. In a number of cases where we would like to recover water, people have identified that they do have future plans for use of the water. And so what I, this happens when you come in for renewal. So what we've been looking at is that development plan really valid? And as a consequence, we'll give you a couple of years to actually prove that you're actually going to use it.
That is Andrew Johnson, who is the Territory's water controller. Stay up to date on all things rural in the Northern Territory via the NT Country Hours website.